Hello. Welcome to this first thoughts edition of the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast, presented by Roni's Own Media and Roni'sOwn.com. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. Your hosts are Jeff and Colleen Roni from Orange County, California. Hi there. There are a number of ways that you can stay connected and interact with the show. Our main website address is onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our Twitter name is OUAT Podcast. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/OUAT Podcast. Our email address is feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. And the address to our forum is forum.onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our blog web address is aclosserlookouat.roniezone.com. And our voicemail line phone number is 657-333-0626. Thank you for listening, connecting, and interacting with us. And now, on with the show.
Welcome to another Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. And we have just watched the finale.
Yes, we did.
My name is Jeff Roni, and I am joined by the often teary-eyed and crying this evening.
Well, let's just call it what it is, sobbing.
Yep.
Colleen Roni.
Yep. So
I cried almost the whole episode.
Yep.
Some of it was tears of joy. Most of it was just unbearable sadness.
Yep.
I am completely undone right now.
Mm-hmm. So it was a fantastic episode.
It was over the top good.
Right. And so let's kind of get started. At the beginning is, so let's see, today is March, I'm sorry, I don't even know what day it is.
May.
It's May 13th.
13th, that's Mother's Day.
Yeah. I don't even know what day it is. So yeah, but I did call my mother. Okay, so the first scene, it sounds, was that the scene before the beheading? Because
No. They
said, you know, you're not gonna, obviously they didn't make it.
No, now that she got what she wanted, she was gonna behead him.
Right.
So got she it. Was basically staving off the beheading. She wanted to behead him at some point.
So we see the return of our friend, the huntsman.
Yes, we do. That was fantastic.
And
that was absolutely fantastic.
And we saw him without the whistle.
We did.
Which is still in play somewhere in the background somewhere.
Yes.
So, but that was really cool. He helped him. He gave him provisions and a way out.
And a weapon.
Mm-hmm. And yep. that was pretty cool.
That was awesome. It's good seeing Jamie Dornan again. Really mm-hmm. good seeing Jamie Dornan again.
And at the beginning, Dr. Whale, again, doesn't know why Henry is in the state that he's in.
Right. He has no idea.
He is often perplexed. Even though the doctor has a doctor's smock on.
He
just doesn't know things.
He doesn't
I don't
know.
People are waking up. I don't know. I'm going to call Regina and let her know. He doesn't know.
Right. He has no idea.
So this is, I was trying to kind of wrap my head around it. So Emma has held Henry's book before.
Yeah.
But now it was different.
I think because she was desperate.
Okay.
Because why else would she be looking in his backpack? She was literally trying to figure out what other possibility could it be. What could possibly be giving him this, causing this problem for him? If it wasn't the apple turnover, what was it? Because Dr. Whale even said he's not showing any symptoms of neurotoxins. So the fact is that, okay, so he's probably not poisoned. So, but then what is it? And that's when Emma realized, okay, there's nothing else it could be, but maybe there's something in his backpack to, you know, kind of point her in the right direction. And when the book fell out and she looked at it and she said, magic. I think she's always had some sort of belief on some level because she's had those moments where she's kind of like, there's no other real rational explanation for this.
Right.
But she acts like she doesn't believe because she didn't want to be the hero.
Mm-hmm. Right.
She did not want to be the hero. So she, I think, has always believed on some level, but this was really where she was so desperate because Henry was not responsive. And I think that was the first time it tested her as a mom.
Yeah.
So that's just... I know somebody's going to say, but remember, he was trapped in the shaft. She wasn't a mom in that moment. She wasn't quite yet a mom. She hadn't fallen in love with him.
Well,
and that's why I say right. This was her first real test as a mom, because she actually wants to be his mom.
And if you go through the steps of, she's been pushed to this point.
Mm-hmm.
This is not something that she leisurely walked into.
Nope.
She has been pushed and prodded this hallway. And I'm not saying that in a bad way. It's just she had to have this happen.
Yeah.
Because she wasn't coming quickly enough along.
Right.
And we had to...
Well, Henry had to push her into it.
Right.
And he did.
Right.
He actually succeeded.
Mm-hmm. So she touched the book.
Right.
And then we see this revelatory kind of thing.
Flashback.
Going on. And then she quickly... takes Regina to task.
And almost kills her in the supply closet. Yeah.
We see a dynasty like another fight.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the last fight we have seen with them, those two, is in the cemetery outside of her father's mausoleum.
Right. There.
So, again, we see this type of thing. And for once, I think in a certain way, they were together, working together.
Oh, absolutely.
And so I think, and again, I think the last time was probably when Henry was in the mine.
Right, right.
And yeah, maybe, no, that's it. I mean, she helped Regina when the fire happened.
Yes.
In the mayor's office.
Yeah,
but she them did. Kind of working together for a common goal, that was... For Henry.
It's always been for Henry. Right. It's always been for Henry. Because on some level, Regina does love Henry. Which is ironic. If she actually understands who, in fact, he is, that I don't know if she's figured that out yet. I don't know if she knows exactly who he is. Because if she realizes that he's actually her step-grandson.
Yeah. So, then we see... Again, I mentioned it, the last discussion we had about the last episode was that Regina had to do the leaving of the little white rabbit card herself and get involved more because Sydney was out of commission.
Right. And we see where he is, too, by the way.
Right. So,
although we didn't see him, but we know where he is.
The bell cells are really coming into play. You know, I wonder who else is there, and that could be interesting to find out. So... we see that the evil queen was trying to make sure that the huntsman was coming, following through with his end of the bargain. And she decides to kind of take matters into her own hands. And through the mirror, now we've seen her use the mirror before with fire and different things. So, so it's not necessarily just a device to see people and to observe.
Communication, but it's also teleporting of sorts.
Right. It's kind of like a portal, if you will, for power.
Right.
I don't know that she could walk through it, but she can certainly use it to propel certain things.
It's a conduit for her. It's a conduit for her magic.
Mm-hmm. So she shoved Prince Charming through... from fairy tale world into
the infinite
forest. I believe it's early Storybrooke.
Possibly.
I believe it's the same forest where Hansel and Gretel were sent.
Possibly.
Okay.
Possibly.
So that's where I'm putting my little
two because
cents
there. Because Rumple did say it was the infinite forest. There's no way out except for through his magic. So
okay. So right. I don't know that I would trust him. One. Two is if we do kind of follow this idea of believing and seeing and all this, maybe you don't see the way out. And so you kind of wander around in this haze, this magical haze, and then you do think, There's a couple of scenes where he ran around and it was the same force.
Exactly. So, exactly.
So yeah.
Hence the name Infinite Force.
Right. So the enchanted ring that glows when it gets close to snow, so it's kind of like a GPS device.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah.
And I wonder if it glows now.
Well, we'll see.
We see now disappearing and reappearing of Rumpelstiltskin.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were kind of questioning, well, when Snow brought the boat up to go see him and then he appeared in the back, well, maybe that was a bad editing choice.
He can pop in and out. He's definitely got the capability to pop in and out at will.
Right. So.
And look. He kicked butt there. Hardly doing anything with Prince Charming. I mean, I love Prince Charming. Don't get me wrong. I do. But Rumpel pretty much kicked butt just standing there, hardly doing anything. And he just effortlessly, fended off every attack. So it was kind
of
cool.
It was a pretty epic sword fight. Yeah, yeah. It was a great sword fight for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of those things where, there was so much in this episode. You got to watch it again to kind of catch it all. So,
yeah. Not sure I can take it. I want to see it, though.
I know. So, David and Mary Margaret, at the beginning there, when they have their conversation, they just, again, they can't catch a break.
No.
So,
it was very sad. It was very sad. And he cried again, and that was very sad.
Yep.
But I liked this David, though.
Yeah.
He's again, we talked about this in the last episode, is that he's kind of getting stronger. As the curse was weakening, he's reverting to his more normal, charming self. So he's becoming more strong. He's becoming more charming. So I liked him in this episode, actually.
Well, let's go back to the book, the Emma in the book, then.
Mm-hmm.
Then maybe if the curse is weakening, like we knew from the tree dying.
Right.
Is maybe it was easier for Emma to connect with the book.
Yeah.
And maybe it wasn't that she has done it before, but she did it now with a weak curse.
Right, because
and so this time it worked.
I think she's always been kind of being, she's always had a little bit of that, well, maybe it could be. I mean, it'd be better than, normal life, that's for sure. So I think that on some level she's always believed, and she just was so desperate to save Henry. She just loves him so much that she's now ready. She was ready to believe.
Okay. So the Fabergé egg with the potion in it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. A Fabergé egg.
It wasn't technically a Fabergé egg, but it was Fabergé-like. But yes, a beautiful golden egg.
Right.
The goose that laid the golden egg.
There you go.
The first thing that came into my head. Well, and also let's go into the whole the dwarves. That's how they're born, it's through eggs.
Right.
So.
Yeah, we touched on that, didn't we?
We did a little bit.
Okay. Yep. And then I got in trouble. So, belly of the beast, so that's what happened.
When he said
there.
That, I thought what that meant was that Charming was going to have to drink it.
Hmm.
And then when he produced the egg, I went, oh. Okay, so he literally means to store it in the belly of the beast, not to. Because then I thought, okay, well, mate, maybe that's a reference. Belly of the Beast is a reference to Snow White. So get her to drink it so that you can impregnate her with Emma. That was what I was kind of like.
Wow, here we're there again.
I'm just saying, that's what I thought. I'm sorry.
Right. So it's now a science class here. All right. So then Rumpelstiltskin gives Emma her father's sword.
Uh-huh.
And that's...
Well,
go ahead.
She believed.
Right.
So, yeah.
Okay.
That was like a big deal.
So, at least two places that we've seen that sword before.
In Rumpel's castle, if I'm not mistaken.
In his estate room there.
Right.
And?
Wasn't that the sword he used to fend off the guards when he was trying to save Emma and put her in the wardrobe?
Well,
or was it a different one?
I think it was a different one. Personally, that's what I think. The second place was in the nightmare sequence of...
Yes.
And Apparetta's blood.
Oh, yep. Yeah. Interesting. Okay, yeah.
So, yes. And that kind of did play into a little bit. They were, you know, the beheading and anyway. That
yes.
Kind of,
yes. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So, a different spot, obviously. But, so yeah, August.
Oh, August. Don't make me cry again.
I know. I know. So, but what I did see was these situations. See, it's one thing to say, you know, I'm the savior, I believe, but it's another thing to act. And so what the writers did was ratchet up the tension farther and farther and far. So if she had a moment where she said, I'm still not going to do it, then we have the August. And she now sees what her not believing has done. Is she should have believed Henry. She should have believed August. She should have believed all these people that tried to tell her, but she didn't. You know, and so now the effect of that is now affecting everything. So, hang in there. Hang in there.
But it was so sad.
Don't make me cry. We're going to have a blubber fest. I don't want that. I know it was. What a mess we are.
I cried. I know, that was the first time I cried, and I cried really hard because...
Well, he's my favorite dude. He called in and left a voicemail on this show. He's my favorite dude.
Yeah, but it was so sad because he went to Wood again.
I know that, but we'll maybe talk about it at the end when we get to that.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Probably won't be the last time I'll cry either, by the way. Sorry.
I know. This is a Dr. Phil show without Dr. Phil. So the most exciting thing is, and I know Manny jumped up off the couch and said, my God, we're going in the library. We are going in the library. Because I said the opposite of heaven, yes, we're going in the library. You were here and you heard me.
I did. I heard it. The neighbors called the police. I'm sure the neighbors were freaking out. We have our windows open, and I'm sure they were like freaking out if they heard us. That was amazing. Yeah. I was like, yes, finally going in the library. Yay. What am I going to find in the library?
Now, the library looked rather new. It wasn't cobwebby.
No, it didn't look so much. I know what you mean. You don't mean new. You just mean it's not been neglected.
Right.
So, because the whole elevator shaft was very old-fashioned. Very. Regina even said it's a two-person operation. Right. Somebody has to stay and operate. It's a manual elevator. Mm-hmm. That right in and of itself is very old-fashioned. You don't find those too many places.
But it was interesting that there was the wall that looked like it had a mirrored cutouts of the storybook tree,
yes,
and stars, and probably underneath was probably the honey
beehive
down there. So anyhow, but yeah, that was just so
cool. That was a really cool, very cool wall.
Yep. And
I thought she was going to push it and it was going to shatter, and then when it lifted up, I was like, oh yeah, even better. I like it.
So it lifted up, and then they had the kind of really old kind of contraptions all that. And then we
very
saw the
similar
elevator.
To the mine shaft. Yeah. Very similar to the mine shaft.
Well,
the way it was constructed, the way it looked, the look and feel. I don't mean like exactly. I'm talking about the elevator and the mine shaft.
Right. Got it. So then she goes down.
Yes.
Down the elevator. And then we have this discussion about two-man operation and all this kind of stuff.
Well, yeah. And I love the fact that even then she still didn't kind of trust Regina, and rightfully so, because we didn't know what Regina was going to do. But I figured at this point in time, Regina had a lot more to lose by doing something sneaky and tricky here.
Right.
Because again, I think on some level she does love Henry, but it's just a little warped.
Evil Regals, please. She's just expressing herself.
Look, I'm just saying is because he's not her son.
I get it.
So there's a little bit of a, you know, the fact that she loves him even though she's, anyway.
Well, let's say this. We've heard her kind of say different things, but it would be interesting, and I think one day we're going to explore what Henry means to her.
Right,
now,
why?
That's what I want. That's what I'd love to hear.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is
why? Why right. does she? Why? I mean, she lost a lover and a fiance, not a child. Why is she so obsessed with Henry?
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying? There's a difference. Maybe he changed her. I don't know.
Well, and I'll bet you that it comes down to because a child can't leave.
Typically, you know,
maybe,
not.
Maybe that's kind of the idea. Maybe. I don't want to go psychological, but you know, there are some women that have babies because they won't stay and
right.
make their life complete. So right. that's, you know, something to think about.
Yes.
So Regina said, I saved an old friend in a different form. And yeah, I don't want to go fully into it, but I think it was a genius move because Rumpel knew that.
Right.
And so he said, well, it's kind of like a free pass
mm-hmm.
to get something from here to there. And I don't even really have to work too hard at it. He wants the ring. I'll get him to do that. And once the curse happens, she's definitely not going to change the name or change the form. It's going to be the same form. There you go.
Right.
My question is it's, okay, so I guess the curse initially, the dark curse,
mm-hmm.
froze that form, I yeah. guess. Okay. So, yeah. All right.
Very possible.
So, but Maleficent in the fairy tale world could change
back and forth. Right.
Now, I think that it looked pretty dark in there. But I think it may be the dragon that we see in the pilot flying out.
Looked very similar to me. Very similar.
So, anyhow. And maybe the dragon couldn't get... Maybe it was far ahead at first, but it couldn't
yeah.
last. So
it's possible. Or Regina somehow pulled her back or, yeah. you know.
So, again, we see Prince Charming say, show yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see the dragon in both realms, if you will.
Yes.
Fairy tale land it and storybook.
Freaking fantastically done.
Yeah. Yeah.
The mirroring of the encounter with the dragon between Emma and her father. That was ridiculously awesome.
And it was very, very Disney-esque.
Mm-hmm.
It looked just like the dragon from Sleeping
yes,
Beauty.
Yes. So. Yes. Yes. And even the same, her kind of roaring thing, mm-hmm. I can't even do it, but her roar that she did was very similar, sounded right. very similar to me.
And so Jefferson had a little moment to kind of demand his end of the bargain with Regina. And Regina said, look, I'm kind of in the middle of this, you know, not now, you know, I don't know when, but, you know, Emma didn't eat the turnover, Henry did, so it's kind of no, sorry.
Yeah, pretty much deals off. Right. And that's the second time she's screwed him over.
Yeah.
You'd think he'd learn by now. I love Jefferson. I think he's adorable and he's wonderful and he's very sweet, and I feel so bad that he is without his daughter. That breaks my heart too.
Right.
But he's not bright for trusting Regina twice. Mm. I know he's desperate to see his daughter, and I get that. And I guess maybe when you're that desperate, you do things. But I wouldn't trust Regina. I'm right. sorry. She doesn't seem to do very good things to him.
So Jefferson took matters into his own hands.
Yes, he did.
And did the old coffee down to the bell cell area and talked to Nurse Ratchet. And then
awesome.
The tall guy, sweet... The guy mops all the time.
He mops.
I don't know.
That's all he does down there. Yeah.
We got the cat man who I didn't see and the mop man,
right.
You know, and Nurse Ratchet over there.
Right. Well, and did you notice that he was mopping in front of a cell that was marked S glass? That's
right.
Where Sydney's
yep.
being kept.
Yep.
That's how we know Sydney's there.
So he, now, how did Jefferson know? Very good question, I think.
Yeah. I was curious to know how he knew that too.
Yeah.
He had to have known something. I mean, he knows a lot of stuff.
Now, maybe he saw it on a map.
Oh, that's possible. Or maybe he just happens to, and I'm hoping we get to see this next season, is that obviously he knows Regina really well, and he would know how it is that she ended up getting Belle, and putting her somewhere, and he had to have figured out where she would have been. Because again, his map things for Storybrooke probably overlay on top of whatever, wherever the other things in Fairy Tale World would be, you know, the equivalent. So, you know what right. I'm saying? That whole cell right there is very likely where Belle and that is very likely Regina's house, her dungeon. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'll go there with you.
So he knows that's yep. where she's being kept, because she's very likely being kept in the cell in Regina's dungeon anyway.
Well, Jefferson's a bit of a, he's an observer, and I think he observes a lot, and I think
he's a voyeur.
Well, I was going to try and say nicely.
A voyeur, somebody who watches, but so I mean, that doesn't
rear window. So he probably saw something.
Oh yeah. I'm sure he knows. Yeah. He knew from all, you know, from probably the beginning.
So, and he released Belle?
Yes, he did.
And I'm not sure how they or she got by Nurse Ratched. Nurse Ratched was asleep.
He poisoned her.
The mop guy, would just kind of slip an Apollo bar and say, don't say anything.
He didn't give him anything. Okay. He just, right. shh, don't say a right. word. Because if you follow, if I'm not mistaken, and I don't know the story because I've never seen it, but The Shining... Right. I believe that One Flew of the Cuckoo's Nest,
right.
there is a guy who does the mopping, and he doesn't say a word. He's mute.
Okay.
So that may be the key. That's my understanding. I could be totally wrong.
We'll have to have a movie afternoon and watch that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Because it has Jack. All right.
Jack.
Yeah. So Emma threw the sword.
Yep.
Just like Daddy. Threw the sword at the queen.
Yes.
And in this situation, it killed the dragon. Now, right. that was just like...
Sleeping Beauty. That was almost identical to how Prince Philip killed the dragon in Sleeping Beauty.
And the original Fantasmic.
Okay, yeah.
He threw, you know, the sword there. Sword in the dragon.
Okay.
I also noticed a little bit of Tomb Raider 2, but anyway, I'm going off on a tangent because there was a dragon in that Tomb Raider
Two.
Anyhow, so one of the Tomb Raiders. And so when Belle walked into Mr. Gold's shop, you know, that was a great moment. And what I flashed to was the Francis Ford Coppola's Dracula movie, when Winona Ryder was talking to Gary Oldman as Dracula, and he saw a picture of her with Keanu Reeves,
yes,
his fiance, and then he saw her and he remembered that's who his love was, and then he asked Keanu Reeves, "Do you believe that love lasts longer than time?" And that's kind of that. It's just it sparked, and he knew that's what that was. So it was the same kind of thing where she walked in and he just went, "Oh my God, wow, it's her."
It broke my heart too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he was so sweet, and he walked up to her and he touched her and he's like, "Oh my God, you're real."
Yeah.
He was just so... Oh, so sad. And his tears in his eyes. And I was just like, I wanted to hug him.
Yeah. Yeah. You were a mess.
I was a total mess.
But that's okay. That's okay. So then Henry dies.
Oh,
and God. You were a mess again. And
yeah.
So we do see a scene where Snow and Charming say, "Let's take back the kingdom." And so we have the setup for the next group of events for next season.
Well, that was them walking across the beach and him proposing, which was very sweet.
Mm-hmm.
It was very, very sweet. And I loved her response. It was so sassy and so totally, it wasn't like gushy romantic, "Yes, of course I'll marry you." It was, "What do you think?" You know, it was just really cute. It was very them, very much them.
So, in effect, at one moment, you know, I've heard it said that a great ending show, and I mean of the season, always mirrors the beginning show.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so, for that moment, we not only see the opening scene, but then we see after.
Yes.
So now we see that the ring basically guided him to Snow. Via Rumpelstiltskin. Who said that? Who said that Rumpelstiltskin helped him find Snow White?
That'd be
you. That would be me.
Yeah, that'd be.
And so I didn't know anything about the GPS ring, but anyway. So he found her, kissed her,
yes.
Broke the sleeping curse.
Right.
And then they start to plan their takeover
yep.
of the kingdom.
Yeah.
And what I thought was interesting is, you know, Belle didn't know Mr. Gold.
No.
And it reminded me of the forgetting potion.
Yeah. Yeah,
it did. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Where I don't know you, you know, and it sets up 450 first dates and all the vow and all these other movies where
right.
we were in love and then something happened or something already was happening and you can't remember me.
Yeah.
So... then it's that. Then we see a well. Now, to me, it wasn't the well where August took Emma.
Are you missing a bunch of stuff?
No.
You sure about that?
Well, you tell me.
It seems like I didn't seem like we were there yet. Rumpel took Belle out to the well.
Right.
She had no idea who he was.
Right. That's, yeah.
Okay.
We discussed that.
All right.
So then he poured the potion.
Well, yeah, he put the but before he gets to that point, Henry's dead and Emma goes in.
Right.
The biggest scene of all of them that yeah. had me sobbing like a freaking baby was when she leaned over.
Mm-hmm.
And she's sobbing.
Right.
And she's like, "I love you," and she kisses him, mm-hmm. and then he wakes up and says, "I love you too." Mm-hmm.
Stop that. Okay.
And then they all remembered.
Mm-hmm.
That was amazing. Because what they did, yeah. though, was they showed Charming kissing Snow
right.
and how the rainbow, you know, mm-hmm. expansion of the...
Right.
Whatever it was that broke...
Like Lost. Yeah.
yeah right. When it broke the mm-hmm. sleeping curse.
Right.
And then when Emma leaned over and kissed Henry, the same thing happened.
Right.
And they all remembered.
Mm-hmm. So... Oh, so then David was driving down the road to leave
because
uh-huh. he was going to move to Boston.
Yep.
And he turned around and was walking in the street. And for that, and you're right. I mean, that was a really interesting moment because it was like...
They were all walking around in a haze, like around. Trying to figure mm-hmm. out what the heck happened. How did we get here? What was the last... I think right. they were trying to remember what was the last thing we were doing before this happened.
And in effect, it did remind me a lot of the finale of Lost.
Yeah.
Once everybody knew, or at least kind of when they, people knew at certain points right. and they were going, wait a minute.
Right.
You know, or in this case, it was, I know who I am. Now I know who you are. And it's that kind of
and then
thing.
They had to help each other figure out who they were. That right. was really cool. So yeah, this so, is kind of similar to that a little bit, little tiny bit.
When Charming called across the street, Snow, and then she turned, you know, and then the scene in the hospital room where they knew. And it was this, like you say, it was kind of a ripple effect because Emma yeah. knew, Regina already knew.
Yep.
Rumpel knew. But then this happened, and then they had the discussion at the after the well around the well. And she's walking along. She goes,
Rumpelstiltskin. I remember.
Right.
Yeah. That and was so, just like, oh.
Yeah. So.
And yeah. I love you. And she told him she loved him, and he hugged her, and he said, I love you too.
Yeah. But, you know, as we see, true love for him. Is not good enough.
No.
He wants power.
He wants the power.
And
too.
Magic. So.
But again, wait. Think about this, though. It's not that it's not enough. Why does he want it? Think.
Well, for Bale.
Exactly. He has to have that in order to find Balefire.
Right.
he has to find his son. He can have it all. He just has to have the magic in order to get Balefire. Yeah.
So I sent, it was funny, I got an email from David B. today, and he said, so what do you think? And I said, I think that magic is coming back to Storybrooke, and I think that's what's going to happen. And so what it looks like is it's the same type of thing, although this was purple smoke. It wasn't black with purple
right,
edges.
Right, it's pure purpley, pinky so purple smoke.
So this isn't the dark curse. I guess it's more of a magical curse smoke. And I think what's... So the...
Well, it says he dropped it in the well where it restores that which was lost.
Which was magic.
Which is magic, right.
Now, they didn't go anywhere, so we're going to see what I think is a fairy-tale-ized Storybrooke.
Possibly, yeah.
So we may see everyone the way they were, or it could be that everyone stays the same but has
their magical power.
Now,
that'll be interesting.
If people can come in from the outside, it will be very interesting to see just happenstance people, you know, or maybe obviously more fairy tale characters. We know that Ariel's coming along. There was Mulan being discussed.
Right.
So that there's more fairy tale characters coming.
Yeah.
So I think it's very interesting. So it looks like the curse refroze time with magic.
Well, and then, but the clock moved. Okay, so, but before we go into that, we're missing still the piece where the Blue Fairy, Mother Superior, tells Regina, if I were you, Your Majesty, I'd find some place to hide.
And who basically mirrored that before? Mr. Gold.
Yeah.
He said, once everybody figures out and wakes up and figures out what you did to them,
they're gonna be out for blood. Yeah, right. They're gonna be out for blood. So,
and everybody, she goes home.
But remember, if they all get their powers back, she's gonna get hers back too.
And that's why she was smiling, looking out the window.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So then the clock, as the curse is basically as the magic comes back in, the clock shows 8:15.
Right.
And then it ticks down to 8:16.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, I think what that is actually the heralding of a new era.
All right.
A new time.
Okay.
That's what I think.
Yep. And, you know, what's really going to be interesting is now Rumpelstiltskin will have magic and power. But he's also going to have love.
Yeah.
And so that may temper it or not. We'll see how that works.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that works itself out.
So, and then once he finds Bale, he'll have a family.
Exactly.
And that will be really interesting to kind of watch that whole...
pan out. Yeah, right. See how it pans out. Because where is Balefire? How old is he? What's he look like? Who is he?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm sure see at some point in time in next season. So, that's...
You know, and maybe Daniel will come back some... I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to say. I mean, I would suspect that if we follow the logic, he won't. But nothing says he can't.
Right. So the look of the town, you know, is going to be very interesting to see. The look of the people, what's going to happen. Now we have magic, so.
Yeah, how's Ruby going to handle that?
Right.
And Granny.
Yep.
And the dwarves.
Mm-hmm.
And the fairies.
Yeah, we didn't see much of the dwarves.
We saw them in the coffin scene.
Yeah, okay.
But the dwarves.
And that was.
The fairies.
Right. And that was going to be another thing
And is Pinocchio going to wake up?
Well, that was another thing, too, is we didn't see that.
No, we didn't.
And so, yeah, so lots of questions, but, you know, it was a great, great finale.
Yeah, it was.
I wanted a 2-hour finale.
Yeah.
Like Desperate Housewives. But
well, but they were ending the series and we didn't want that. We just wanted a really good, very, very fantastic season finale for season one, and we got it.
Yep.
In spades.
So
there were so many. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Like I said, I'm undone. I'm just completely undone.
So that's it. And, you know, get your voicemails in, get your emails in. If the cast is listening, you know, we would sure love to hear from you if you have some time. And now we kind of move into this hiatus time, but let's talk about the finale first. Let's kind of flesh it all out and ring it all out. And let's find out if that area where the dragon is in Storybrooke or whatever it is now was at a big storage room and the Snow White coffin is there, or did she walk a long way over to where the mine was? You understand what I mean? Is it, I mean, it had to be. She did walk a ways. I mean, it wasn't like right there.
Right.
So I think there's, you know, because that was one of the things that Regina said. It was honeycombed with mines.
Right.
So anyway.
That may be the dwarf mines.
Yep. Okay. That's it, guys. Thank you so much for all your support. I want to send big love out to everybody. This was a great, great finale.
Was.
And so.
And this is our last First Thoughts until next season.
Yep.
So we'll just be dealing with the feedback and more and then the live show. Well, feedback and more for right now, and then the live show will be our big one during the hiatus.
Feedback and more, yeah. Yep. So, okay. You know the info and you've heard it. And so we look forward to hearing from you and talking more about it and theorizing and all that. So we'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
See you guys. Bye-bye.